Okay. So first give the floor to Fred for an update on investor outreach on IFRS 17.
Thank you and good afternoon. Michelle will have distributed to you yesterday some papers that we'll be presenting to the board at the July meeting, updating them on the investor engagement activities that we've undertaken since the publication of IFRS 17 in late May. What we've done is a similar effort to what we've tried to do on past major standards, which is try to begin by doing an awareness raising campaign with investors. However, what we found with IFRS 17, in contrast with other standards in the past, is probably much stronger take up and interest from the investors. So the sector is very much a gatekeeper analyst type sector with specialists that give advice to the generalist fund managers. And so you'll find the figures that are in the paper that we distributed with you are quite, I think, a positive surprise for us. We had over 30 meetings. We met with over 100 investors, and it's a work in progress. So we're carrying on with conducting these meetings as we speak. What we've done is we've provided an educational type session for investors that's very much patterned off of a presentation that's used in the webinar that we delivered for national standard setters in late May. So it's very much focused on the outputs and the disclosures that investors will receive. And overall, what we found in the feedback in our meetings was a very positive response from investors. I think the best way to summarize it, we were with one of the largest global asset managers in the world. It was someone who attended this presentation at an industry conference, and then we met them in a one-on-one, and they simply told us, I've yet to hear a coherent argument from a preparer as to why this increased transparency is a bad thing for me as an investor. And I think that overall, you know, is not a surprise when you look at the materials that were distributed to you and you look at the presentation. I think most insurance investors would be foaming at the mouth when they look at all of the liability roll forward disclosures that this standard will introduce. And it's, I think, a significant contrast to the type of disclosure that they receive in financial statements today.
Foam at the mouth.
Remember that, yeah.
Down and use it.
Popping off.
Okay. Lots of credit should go to Steve and Fred, who've led the investor campaign. That's been.
So, of those 30, how many were there UK based, and how many were elsewhere based?
So on a regional basis for the meeting count, we had about 50% of the meetings were European-based. Then the rest is a mixture of global, Asia-Pacific, and North America. And in the case of North America, Linda, we had, a very successful webinar with the Canadian investors, a really high sign-up rate.
Right.
I think that although we had a few technical difficulties overall, the kind of Q&A that we fielded in that webinar was very consistent with the type of Q&A that we fielded in many of the other meetings we held with investors.
Yeah, it was very well received. We just did it Tuesday. And it was very well received. Actually, you make it sound so simple and intuitive, which is great. So we'll see how it goes in your implementation. But anyway, so no, it was very well received. It was very logical. You took them through it a step at a time, and they've been wondering what the actual output was going to be. So I think it was a good step in terms of starting the conversation.
Well, I participated in one of these meetings yesterday, and I can echo that Steve does a really good job to explain in pretty simple terms what it's all about. I can also tell you that even though he left out a lot of detail, it still took 90 minutes. I mean, it is quite a lot to get through.
It is.
Because it is a complicated business and a complicated standard. But I indeed witnessed also that the investors looking at all, especially the roll forwards that they would get, that they find it very valuable information. Okay, but still a lot of work to be done. And I still in. I also had a meeting with a bunch of preparers who told me that their investors were not at all interested. So let's see if those investors have been reached by Fred and Stephen yet. Okay.
I first nine.
Kumar.
Yeah. Thanks, Hans. Thanks, Fred. Afternoon, everybody. This is what I wanted to give you a short update on is the next steps on the exposure draft on IFRS 9, symmetric prepayment options. I don't plan to go through the comment letter summary. We have done that at the last board session, and thanks to everybody who wrote in. We got over slightly over 60 comment letters. Just to give a brief snapshot, what the ED proposed was these options, what are called negative, with negative compensation, would qualify for SPPI or amortized cost accounting if you met two conditions. First, reasonable additional compensation. So the compensation that's coming up, it's only negative, but it meets all the other things. It's reasonable additional compensation. And second, that option must have insignificant fair value at initial recognition. As you can guess, the focus of the comments that we have received mainly has been on these two conditions, what we have heard, and of course some of the other explanations which were put in the basis. So nearly all respondents agreed with the first condition that it should meet the reasonable additional compensation, but there were concerns about what explanations we had put in the basis about primarily focusing on two areas, whether a fair value put works as reasonable additional compensation, and secondly, also I think it's related when you have hedge breakage costs, which are also part of that. So going forward, I think, and the second condition, mixed views. Some people said yes, the others, quite a few have that in their jurisdiction, did not agree with the second condition due to a number of reasons. So looking at these two factors, what we are planning to do in the next step, so we also did a project paper to the board last month with that, and obviously the focus will be to look at whether the board should proceed with the proposed eligibility conditions or what should be amended in view of the comments that we have received, and whether also at the same time, because they're interlinked with the basis, looking at whether the particular aspects of the board's conclusions which are there in the basis, what will we need to do about those in light of the comments we have received. Now that focuses on the two conditions. Of course, there's also the question asked on transition, which I know is important for quite a few jurisdictions. Again, it was mixed views about whether it should be 2018 or 2019. The reason for people who asked for 2019 was, I think, pretty consistent, right? Union Across saying that we do need that time for endorsement and other things because there's a process that we need to follow, while others gave 2018 saying that we need to get it in place because of the impending thing. So, of course, we will be addressing the transition issue at the next board meeting, along with the request for it, although not universally across, but some people did ask that we would like to again get the transition reliefs that are available when you do IFRS 9, because this is again another initial application. So this is the set of papers that we are planning to the board, planning to bring to the board, well, in a couple of weeks' time, because we have to get this through given the tight deadline we have. So that's the project plan. We are working on the papers, and that's what we plan to discuss with the board a week after next.
Andrew.
Yeah, thanks, Kim. Just on the effective date point, whether we're one of those who suggested 2019 with early application permitted, but whatever you go for, clearly it's going to be greatly preferable if companies can apply this from 1st of January 2018. FX had some conversations with the European institutions around the willingness to fast-track the endorsement process, and there's no guarantee they'll be willing to do so, but the signals so far have been quite positive on that front. But of course, timing is everything, and really need to be, say, mid-October, even with a fast-track process, to be doable in time in the European Union.
Absolutely.
We know if things go in the direction of the relaxation, that speed can be increased.
Right.
No arguments there.
Not coming.
No comment.
Just a reminder, we're going November 1st, so mid-October.
And you need to translate.
And we need to
try and work that through.
I can control the endorsement process with my board, but the translation.
Okay.
No, I can just call a conference call.
Michelle?
Yeah, so then agenda paper 10 is just the normal agenda paper that I put to the ASAP members that just sets out the suggested topics for discussion in September 2017, so our next meeting, then an update on where we are on the various projects and when we propose to bring them back to the ASAP, and the third section sets out how we've used the feedback provided. So I suggest we just look at Appendix A, which sets out the agenda topics for September. So I've kind of got an update on the list that I sent out in the paper. So it's always a dynamic list. So we think that we will defer the discussion on the definition of material and not bring that to you in September, remembering that September is just a plan to be a one-day meeting, because we have the meetings before ASAP. And we're proposing Kimberly has offered to bring a paper on alternative performance measurements, and the definition of a business team would like to bring back to the ASAP, where they've got to with the board in re-deliberating the proposals in the exposure draft. So that's really, I don't know if anyone has any comments on other topics.
Alex?
Michelle, may I have a couple of weeks before we decide about the inflation program? Because I believe they're doing a research, they're doing a questionnaire with us, and I'm not sure if it's going to be ready for September, but I understand that I'm going to be sure in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, I think I have thought that we might bring it in December, because we might take it to emerging economies before we bring it to this group, which is in South America.
Well, it can be an approach, but
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
December. So.
You kill.
Yeah. I have a question about the scope of the primary financial statement project. My understanding is that ISB has decided to include better ways to communicate the information about OCI in the scope of the project. So can we expect or we'll be discussing about the issue at the September ASAP meeting?
Well, I don't know whether the team is actively working on that part of the...
I think for the September, because we have primary financial statements, we were thinking about discussing the alternative performance measures, so we could maybe take it for December. I could talk to the team about it. They're not here, but so I'll have to take it to them and come back to you.
I think, you know, we'd like to discuss about, you know, the better ways to communicate the information about OCI at the, you know, the September ASAP meeting. So
you want to bring a paper in?
No.
Oh, okay. Nice try. I will talk to the team and get back to you. Yeah, okay. And then the conceptual framework team have asked me to mention to you that in about 2 weeks' time they will be making available the fatal flaw draft for your comments. So we will load it onto the IFAS SharePoint site. So I think it's a good 2 weeks away that they've asked me to make that point available to you. And I don't have any other comments unless anyone has any other comments.
Andrew, can I raise some entirely unrelated other business to do with your new website? Which is great, by the way. I heard from an undisclosed source that there was some consideration being given to what to do with older archive material, perhaps pre-2014. I might have got the details wrong. And depending on what's decided by whoever decides, this older material might stop being available publicly. So I heard this very recently, but certainly FRAG staff quite often go back into the archives. So if there's another added consideration.
We'll give them the key.
I wonder if similar comments apply to other ASAP members.
And I think the official position on that at the moment is that you're right, at the moment we have some of our technical material on the new website, and then we've got the archive site that survives sort of in tandem. A formal decision hasn't been made yet on what the second phase is, so we'll feedback your interest, continued interest in the archive material to the people on the website steering project. Other thoughts from people on the archive material?
I put myself behind this.
Andreas, you like it as well.
Surely.
There's a very easy
solution.
Solution you have, because you just changed the URL from www to archive, that's it. So that's the easy one. We've done exactly the same thing with the German website. So what I think it is so important, because sometimes you need to go back. You have a faint idea that the board discussed something in 2007 or 8, but you're not entirely sure what it was. Now say, okay, I have to go back and potentially research some agenda papers or whatever. It's very difficult if you're not entirely aware as to what you're actually searching. You just have a faint idea where this was discussed around.
We're trying to weigh up different alternatives. I'll make sure the feedback goes back. We were looking at whether we might be able to do something like having an archive service where you could ask for, a library service where people could ask for information and we'd get it to you within a particular time period. Because there's sort of technical considerations beyond my understanding in terms of maintaining the website and storage and upkeep, etc. But I'll feedback the view of the ASAF members to the people who are. We're weighing up pros and cons about what our approach is, but there's definitely no plan at the moment that at a particular date that archive site is dying.
Good. Any other comments? Okay, so that concludes our meeting for today. We've made some progress. We will start tomorrow at 9 o'clock, and most likely we will be on by 12:30.